What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagrebem zloty gniew.
Hello and welcome to Put an H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
You see what I did with the old hell thing there? Because it's the Halloween special.
It's the spooky one. And we were only just talking off mic about how incredibly fortunate it is that we always end up coming to the Treehouse of Horror around Halloween.
Syncs up quite nicely.
And we've taken, like you were saying, we've broken up to two a month, four a month, taking a break, you know, all this sort of stuff. And we always just wind up back here. It's
just like in Lost, Andy. There's a constant, right. You know.
No, I don't get the reference.
Penny was Desmond's constant.
I don't know what that
means. Desmond was Daniel Faraday's constant.
What is this constant? What do you mean he's my constant?
Never mind. It's a whole big time travel sci-fi thing.
Let's not go into it, huh?
Let's do our check-in. How have you been?
I've been well. What's been going on? I've been continuing on watching a bit of wrestling.
Really? Do tell.
I am now... What have you got there? Now that looked like a little effort. I'll say that right off the bat.
Whatever way it happened with the can, it was like it was welded on there.
Who are they trying to keep out of there?
Why, Andy, I've got an old reliable.
What have you got there?
It's the Whiplash Body Riddle Pale Ale. It's fastly becoming the official beer of this podcast.
I'm sorry, but you have to try a different one every time. If you're going to stop me every episode and just pour the same beer, it's not...
Excuse me, I have to?
Yes, you have to.
No.
I've never gone back to one of those bollocks power drinks for a second time.
Faye went and got me beers today, and she just picked me up four Whiplash, okay?
I'd be absolutely fuming if I were you. No. I already drank Whiplash on the podcast.
2 weeks in a row, Faye.
Terry, please.
It's an amateur hour.
How is it again?
Delicious as ever.
It's like you're eating it.
Yeah,
you still had the liquid in your mouth as you were talking.
Yeah.
The absolute disrespect.
Don't spill a drop. Look at it, Andy.
It doesn't appeal to me. I'll tell you what does.
I tell you, I just bought 12 of them today in Aldi.
How much out of interest?
5 something. So
they saw you coming.
What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. That's
they're like 1 euro each or something.
I get a pack of 24 in Dunnes for 11 euro.
Yeah, so it probably
works out cheaper.
I think mine was like 5.40 or something like that.
Okay,
like.
Well, look, I've shown myself up there, but I'm drinking a Coke Zero in here.
The worst thing is, you're still shopping in Dunnes.
It's right beside Aldi. Aldi run out of the Coke Zeros as soon as they put them out.
I tell you, I was there too early because I did see a beer I wanted to get. They have one called a Brewdog Ald IPA.
Sorry?
Ald. A-L-D, and then it's IPA. Like as in Aldi. Then they make it especially for Aldi. Andy is coming a little bit there, it looks like.
That sounds... Okay, fine. And how
I don't
it?
Know, I haven't tasted, but I was there too early. We went and got... Sorry, I'm completely taking over your section.
That's fine.
But,
you mean you were too early to buy beer, like you were one of those guys?
Like, hanging around, like...
Yeah, waiting for the offer.
Is it half 10 yet?
Do you remember those guys?
We dropped... I've been on a week off, and we dropped Bonnie off at creche this morning.
Nice.
And then we took a spin down to Aldi to buy some toys for Christmas, a little wooden toy.
They've got some good stuff there, yeah.
Yeah, they had... But there was a fucking queue, Andy. Like, it was back to the bad old days. Day one of lockdown. But
I know.
Turns out everybody was just queuing for the toys. Like, like there was literally a guy out the front being like, are you looking for any big toys? Like, because he, like, basically, if you wanted a kitchen set or something, he's like, okay, take this slip and give it to somebody. They're all not on the floor. They're in the back. Right. I was like, what is going on here? Like,
do you have the Russian doll? And the guy's like, hey, this guy's asking for a Russian doll. It's like, a turbo, they sold out weeks ago. It's only the most popular doll ever, though.
So you're wrestling, yeah?
Yeah, I'm on the Royal Rumble 2002.
Okay,
finished it.
You finished it?
Yeah.
So that was when the game returned, right?
Oh, yeah. And I tell you, the pops that he's been getting since
he came
out.
They talk about that being up there with when Stone Cold returned. It's like one of the all-time great pops.
It's my favorite, as you know, wrestling memory, because it was just, I don't know what it was, but like I had the same reaction. I remember at the time I couldn't really explain.
Why? Like,
I don't know. Maybe it was just.
I never liked.
He was such
Triple
a big guy. Ah, oh, he's great. Yeah. But like,
Steve.
And then, now he's doing the whole thing with Steph, where he's like, she's still a heel, and he's like kind of so. Oh, over? Is that
yeah,
the
yeah, he's like the cool.
Yeah, so she's always going out and he's like, why don't you relax? You know, like all that sort of stuff. Why don't you do what you never seem to
hummus.
Be able? Yeah, and shut up. So, like, there's all that going on and he was in the Rumble. You know, it was a pretty decent Rumble. There was Ric Flair and Vince in a street fight.
Yes, I remember that.
Plenty of colour in that one.
Bloody as hell. Yeah. Bloody and bashed.
And Vince is just, I'm on the Raw afterwards, and Vince is like, I'm going to do something even I'm going to regret. Like,
he's
going to
inject poison.
So that's coming down the line, the old NWO. But mm-hmm. It's been good. I mean, I was kind of like, I was going to stop at December, because I've officially watched every Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view of 2001. And then I was like, well, the Rumble's only a couple of weeks away. And now I'm like, well, should I go to Mania now? Is it worth it?
It's worth going to Mania. Mania 18 is pretty good.
Right.
Like, with The Rock and Hogan. And
oh, that's that one.
That's that one.
Icon versus Icon.
So, like, 100% worth watching for that.
Okay.
I think it's, like, Austin and Hall, I think, is one of the matches.
Jesus.
Which kind of seems like, oh, what are they doing with Austin? And then I remember watching it back, and it's still a fucking deadly match. Like, Austin will always give you good stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, he's great. The watch chant is in full effect now.
Oh, and I think it's like Ric Flair and Taker, maybe, is one of the matches, and it's fucking deadly. Because Taker Big Evil now at this stage?
He's not called Big Evil. I don't know what he is now.
He's a heel, though, now.
He's a heel, but he's kind of just a bit. It's kind of just in the background almost. He comes out now. I'm like, what the fuck are you gonna do? He's a nobody around this time.
Yeah, I think later on in the year he becomes world champ. Like, and he becomes like heel Taker, kicking everybody's ass.
You've done it.
I'm going school.
I'm sick of the it's my yard stuff. I don't know what my problem is with the Undertaker, but I've got some sort of an issue with him. Maybe it's because
he cut his hair yet?
Yeah, he could have.
Yeah.
So that's
done
the
it
answer.
Now.
But apart from that, just been Terry. Now look, you know I love a good lockdown, so you know, for purely selfish reasons, of course. But
it's gonna be a lockdown.
Apart from the crippling financial issues that it's putting a bunch of businesses in, but from a personal point of view, it suits me down to the ground. But I'm going to start working from home now, which will be interesting. Should be a bit easier because Joni will still be in school and all that.
Get a pass. He doesn't have a pass.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's just
gone to 2 days in the office, 4 days at home.
4 days at home? 6 day week?
No, but so because we've split it into like three teams. So it's like you're working with your bubble. So, for example, I'm in the office with the same six other people or whatever.
Right.
So for 2 days, then there's another team that do it for 2 days, another team that do it for 2 days, and then we're back around on the rota. It's still a 5 day week, but it's just
I get you.
Work two on or two in the office, four from home.
Okay. And how's that gone?
I've been on a week off this week, so it's only started since lockdown.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I'm talking to you, like, and I've got all next week off.
I'm on my parent leave. I'm on my parent leave, Andy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so screw you.
Democrats.
Yeah. I get 3 extra weeks next year as well.
Unbelievable. Bonnie was born.
What?
Do I get them?
Have another baby.
I will, just for the time off.
No, but I think it's because Bonnie was born after November. You get like 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
I get 3 weeks next week. Or next year, extra.
Oof. Yeah. Excellent.
I don't know what to do with myself.
This baby's paying for itself.
Yeah. I have been...
What's been going on with you?
Thank you for asking. Got there just in time. I decided since I had my week off, I'm going to do a little writing project, right?
Oh.
So I'm halfway through it.
And what are you doing? What are you writing?
I tell you, I am watching 6 Adam Sandler Netflix movies in 6 days, and I am writing to see if I lose my mind.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I'm 3 days into it, and I'm watching them in chronological order, the way they were
released.
So
what have you watched so far?
I've watched The Ridiculous 6, I've watched The Do-Over, and I've watched Sandy Wexler.
Oh my god, how's that going?
Some good, some bad. Some of the sentences I'm writing in my notes, I'm like, what have I just written from what's been on the screen? Like, there's literally where, like, and Vanilla Ice is Mark Twain? What? Like,
I would believe it and all in one of his movies. And are we going to be able to see the finished article?
Yes, absolutely. So, I'm going to publish it, and then maybe we'll promote it through the Twitter feed or whatever like that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
So that's what I've been doing. I've been watching a lot of Adam Sandler.
Excellent project.
Yeah, how much I both enjoy him and can dislike him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's certain times I'm like, oh man, yeah, he's just in it. He's like, to you know, quote from Happy Gilmore, he's feeling the flow, doing the bull dance.
Working.
And then there's other times where you're like, oh, the voice. Oh.
That's the problem in my house, because Kerry doesn't like Adam Sandler at all, and she's always giving out about the voice.
I'm like, he
barely does the voice, but then this new one, this
Hoobie Halloween. Is he doing the voice in that?
Apparently the whole time, and it's the worse than ever. So I'm like, oh.
See, you know, the reason why I started doing it was because I read a few articles where it's like, Hoobie Halloween is the movie we all need now. Like, it's silly fun and it's, you know, lift a bit of gloom from 2020. So then I was like, okay, well, I've always wanted to check out them just to see, like, are they worse than his, like, pre-Netflix career, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the ones...
And are they?
They look
like they're put together in a month, and then the next one's put together like the next month. It's like they're just doing it on the fly. Like.
Well, he has his hand in a lot of the writing of it, I will say that. For some of them, for the worst one I've watched so far, it was written by Adam Sandler.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh,
but like,
dear.
Like, I'm kind of with you. I'm torn on Adam Sandler because I'm like, I love him dearly, but I'm also like, how is this man the name in comedy? Like, you know what I mean? How is he a billionaire or whatever?
Really switched off towards the end of his like career, his studio career, if you get me. Like,
yeah,
and like he was like Sony's biggest guy for so long because every movie was $100 million.
Yeah.
And then when they kind of stopped being profitable for him, they were like, we can't really make these movies anymore. And the Netflix was like, we'll make them. Like, come on over to us. Like, and they're hugely successful for Netflix.
That's crazy.
Because everybody wants to see Adam Sandler. But like, I
also want to see Adam Sandler, but why? I don't know why.
See,
excuse me.
Unbelievable.
I was like,
I haven't had any inclination to watch any of these Netflix ones. So forcing myself to do it has been, I'm like, oh, maybe I would have, like, maybe if I just rolled the dice, like, yeah.
But that's interesting. Yeah, I'm very eager to hear how this turns out.
It's interesting. Just watching it, you're like, I'm watching more. Like, and you're seeing, like, it is very much you watching him in this condensed period. You know, he always did it in terms of like jobs for the boys. Like, all my friends are in it, and it's literally now. I'm like, okay, he was in the last one. Oh, he's a writer on it, or he's a producer, and like he basically gets his friends that like directed his earlier films. Yeah. They're all recycled, and they're doing his Netflix stuff now as well.
There's people who are full on making a career just out of being Adam Sandler.
I always remember Rob Schneider on Cribs. Yeah. Like, this is the house that Sandler built.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he got this guy this fucking massive mansion in LA. Like,
at least he knows.
Yeah, Rob Schneider was in one of the films I watched. He was surprisingly earnest, I have to say.
What do you mean?
He was
like,
just kind of sweet in it. Like, he wasn't like
Deuce Bigelow 1.
Yeah, but even in Deuce Bigelow 1, he was kind of annoying. Like, you know, in this one, I was just like, he's actually kind of, you know.
Why don't I like him? Is it because he told Chris Farley to go have another drink that time? Or
he felt terrible about it.
I felt awful.
I will say, he's not the worst of that, like, group.
No.
It's not like he's like Chris Kattan or something like that.
Don't even know who that is. Is he the guy with the crazy eyes?
Yeah, he's the guy from Night of the Roxbury, like, you know. Yeah. not him. That was his assistant, like. Yeah, right. Chris Kattan is the guy from Night of the Roxbury, you know, like.
The other guy.
The small guy, yeah, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, I could not watch Night of the Roxbury now.
I used to have it on DVD, and we used to always put it in.
I just associated you with Night of the Roxbury when we first became
friends. Is love? And
exactly. You were one and the same. I couldn't tell where one ended and you began, but now, like, I feel like if I watched
maybe
it now...
Maybe don't hurt me.
Anyway, has anything else been going on with you, Terry?
No, not really. I tell you what, one other thing I watched was... one other thing I watched was The Boys Season 2. Have you watched any of The Boys, Andy?
I haven't. Never even heard of it, mate.
You haven't heard of it. It's Amazon, their show. It's a show about superheroes.
Okay.
But it's a show about, like, what if superheroes were the worst people in the world? Yet they still have to try and put on their like public persona.
Right.
So for example, there's a guy called Homelander who's like Superman. He can fly, has laser eyes, you know, can't kill him. But like he's a fucking sexist, racist asshole and like so you kind of see behind the scenes and all that. And then there's the boys, the eponymous boys are a group of people that are like trying to take down the superheroes because they fucking hate them.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's good.
This sounds, I mean, look, if this was last year, if you pitched it to me, I'd be like, but now I'm kind of a bit more open to the crazy world of superhero.
I tell you, one of the characters in it, he's like he's just like a regular dude, but he loves Billy Joel.
That's his angle.
No, I mean, that's just one of his character traits, but it's my way to get into you.
Well, now I'm interested, Terry.
Like, there was an episode that, like, kicked off with Only the Good Die Young.
Oof.
And I was like, da-da-da-da. Literally that afternoon after watching it, I stuck on This Is Billy Joel on Spotify and just went through the hits.
He's got some absolute hits, like...
Bang after bang.
He's got about 30 bangers that I could list.
And they could range from like something like that that is upbeat and have you like dancing to, you know, like...
She's Got Away or She's Always a Woman.
And then in between, like you got something like Scenes from an Italian Restaurant where it's like, it's like two of those combined.
Yeah.
Or then something like Big Shot, you know, like
The Entertainer. Oh, no, yeah. We should just do this.
Billy Joel cast. Put it on the slate for next 3 years.
Only the Good Pod Young, that's what we'll call it. Or something.
Yeah, and then the Patreon can be the Cat Cast.
Yeah.
I'll have got what a cat you? By then.
We'll just put them in front of the mic. Come on, say something. People are paying for this.
Our Patreon subscriptions plummeted overnight.
Every time I refresh, there's less.
Really, like Andy Kaufman-esque podcasting.
Yeah, my cat's gotten mad brave with Trash Cat out the back. Remember, I had to
oh, yeah.
get up, and this cat, this fucking cat, I tell you. And I was seriously. This is right. I'm a nice person, right? But I was.
I'll let you have that. Yeah,
thanks. But I was like, I was saying to Kerry, I'm like, if I see that cat, I'm gonna kill it, like, and like, and she was like, and like, at first she was kind of joking. At first she was kind of like joking, like, hey, yeah. And then I was like, and I was driving the car, and the cat was around there. I was like, will I go for it? And she's like, no, we're not killing a cat. Like, I was like, oh yeah, sure.
Andy, is everything okay?
This fucking cat. Anyway, so the cat was in the back garden the other day, and I could hear my cat going like, at it, and I was like, oh, here it goes. So I went out the back garden. As soon as I went out, then my cat got brave and pegged it towards. I could just hear in the dark, like, you know, one just fucked up. I'm like, this fucking, it's like this specter of a cat that keeps just showing up. Look, I'd never kill a cat, all right? That's why I nip that in the bud.
Okay,
right,
cool.
Okay, but
glad we got that on tape.
Yeah, but if you're in Arklow and you're missing a cat, I know nothing about it. Anyway,
that was Terry. Very ominous.
Well, it's the Halloween special, Terry.
Very good. Very
more
good.
Specifically, you like that segue? It's the Treehouse of Horror 6. Sounds like you got a touch of the COVID there, buddy.
I actually went and got tested, would you believe? Because
how many tests is that? It's like 8 tests for you.
Because I remember I told you Bonnie had to get a test because she had a cough and she was negative. So I was like, okay. And they were saying, well, my doctor, I had a cough for about 4 or 5 days. And I was like, you know, she tested negative. And they're like, yeah, but just go get tested anyway. It's like, fucking really? They really get up in there, like.
Really? Is that uncomfortable?
The nose is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They get up the nose. And, you know, I'm sensitive with my nose at the best of times. So, they really got up in there. Oh, but like,
did you get the results back yet?
Got the result. Yeah, negatory. Like,
no, right.
Yeah, but
that's grand.
Yeah, but even still, like, this is the winter now, they're saying.
Well, that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
We're all getting it. This is it. Once it stays dry. No, listen. Now,
hit me with some stuff.
Treehouse of Horror. It was watched by 23 million viewers, acquiring a Nielsen rating of 12.9, and was the highest rated show on Fox that week. In 96, Homer Cubed was awarded the Ottawa International Animation Festival Grand Prize, and the episode was nominated for a Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program. It aired on October 29th, 1995, so nearly 25 years ago to the day. Mm. And what else have I got for you, Terry? It was the first of 2 Treehouse of Horror episodes to be executive produced by our good old pals Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
The episode was too long because, according to Oakley, all 3 segments are very complex stories, and it was hard to fit 3 of them into 21 minutes. So the opening sequence, they didn't have any of Marge's warnings or anything like that because it was taking up too much time. The first segment, Attack of the 50-Foot... You son of a bitch. The Attack of the 50-Foot Eyesores was written by John Swartzwelder, who had previously worked at an advertising agency. Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace was written by Steve Tompkins. David X. Cohen describes as one of the scariest segments of all. And Homer Cubed was written by Cohen, although the idea was pitched by Bill Oakley. And the original idea was that Homer would visit several dimensions, including one where everything was made out of paper cutouts, but they decided that would be too complicated. Paul Anka features, as we know, with the song Just Don't Look. Anka was actually... Oh, I get to that. Absolutely. He was mentioned in Marriage in Grandpa versus Sexual Inadequacy, and in response he sent a letter to the producers which he thanked them for the mention. And so after they received the letter, they decided to ask him to guest star. They tried to get Al Gore to host the episode, but they got no response.
Which is funny because he would go on to like be in Futurama.
Yeah,
quite a lot. Like,
so he said, if the vice president decides to now pursue the showbiz offer, it's too late. He missed his chance.
I think he had a connect with on Futurama. His daughter worked on Futurama, actually.
Al Gore?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, his daughter. I remember listening to one of the commentaries on it, and they were saying that she wrote the episode or something, and he was in it. So I think like that's how they got him in the end.
Lured him in with the old family member trick.
Yeah. Yes, that old chestnut.
In the final scene of the episode, Homer is sent to the real world in the first ever live action scene in The Simpsons. It was filmed on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City, and if I may say, it screamed of Ventura Boulevard when I was watching it. I was like, this is unmistakably LA.
Yeah, 100%.
Where he is. It was directed by David Merkin, who said that Fox couldn't have been less supportive because they thought it would be too expensive. So the scene involves this crane shot that pulls back when the credits are shown, and Fox begrudgingly, they said, allowed Merkin to use a crane for the ending. The scene was filmed on a sidewalk with the crane on the street, and Merkin was not able to fully stop traffic for the shot. Because of this, when the camera swings around, a line of cars can be seen backed up on the street. So Merkin was disappointed. He was also disappointed in the quality of the camera pan, again blaming the lack of support from Fox and the inability to halt the traffic. Which seems very, like, it's The Simpsons. Like,
yeah,
what else?
I mean,
like, it's one of your best shows. What else do you want? You're competing with Seinfeld here. Like,
I mean, it's good. It's not Melrose Place good, I guess.
Like, what do they want? So that's all I've got as far as the preamble.
Shall we get into it a little bit then?
Please.
So, Andy, you have some notes.
I do. Now, the first, I mean, if I may say off the bat, three excellent segments, but
this is my favorite Treehouse of Horror. Always has been. I think it is the best one.
It was very, very funny. So, first of all, I mean, even just the scene of Homer trying to steal that big donut off that Lard Lad statue.
Yeah.
I just love the whole scene. I love the sky. I love it's all like
my
kind
favorite
of dark
is
and
when he's put. First of all, excuse me. But when he's like listening to the radio and it's like this nonsensical, like gibberish, but like, oh, maybe that'll come back. And, you know, be something, but like it's like something from a B fucking science fiction horror movie.
Exactly.
But like when he's just like pulling the stocking over his head, whatever
it looks ominous. Like,
it's brilliant. Like, it looks so good. Like,
he looks like a proper like criminal in that yoke. So yeah, he looked pretty intense. And the roar off the statue,
it's Godzilla,
that like T Rex roar, like. Anyway, I can't do it, but you know.
Yeah. Or is it the announcer says, astronomers from Tacoma to Vladivostok have just reported an ionic disturbance in the vicinity of the Van Allen belt. Just like gibberish.
There was another one, I couldn't pinpoint what they said, like, maybe it'll be on the script, but it's later on in this segment. There's another radio thing, and I was cracking up. I can't remember what it was, though. But
I think it is the Godzilla roar that he lets out.
Yeah, that's like the old fashioned.
Yeah,
and then like so the statue comes to life, and like
they all come to life.
Yeah, but the first one that does when he knocks on Homer's door and he's leaning in, I just remember like you sent me that image to something, like where you're like where it was like you better or something like that, and then I was like I will, and then he just sent me that image of the doll just looking through the door.
That used to be when I got my first iPhone and I realized you could assign pictures, to people. That was my picture for you when you would call or text. It would be that picture of like the Lard Lad looking in the door.
So funny. It's just frown on him, like. But they all come to life, and I love the whole animation of them all, the different kinds of like the cowboy squishing the people with the bottle.
Like, or your the fact that like, they're all like, dude, you're huge.
Yeah. And it's like, he just slowly puts the bottle down. And then like the three
Zip
like,
boys. Stooges,
yeah, it's like, fellas, where are you going with those heads?
Where are you going at this hour?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, don't scratch up
don't
those
scratch
heads.
Them heads. And then I love Kent
it,
Brockman.
But it's as if they've done it loads of times before. Like, fellas.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have Kent Brockman with the, like, you have Kent Brockman behind him, the statue, which is a nice touch. But the whole speech, like, I don't know what it was exactly, the one where he's
I'll
like,
tell you, when
go
he's
on,
going
hit
on
me with it.
And he's like, some daring new ad campaign. But what product could justify such carnage? A cleanser? It's like, a fat-free fudge cake that doesn't let you down in the flavor department? Like so many others. And then it's like, what?
The fact that that's the last line, like, yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just it's perfect timing that doesn't let you down in the flavor department.
So many others. Like, really editorializing as well.
Yeah. Like. And that, and then they cut to the technical difficulty sign. Now, I should say, We're doing all our conferences online and all that, and
I have that signal.
I have that literal sign of the dog pulling the plug.
Nice.
I have it ready to go if something like I'm almost hoping something goes wrong in the stream, so I get an opportunity to.
Have you got the music as well?
No, but I should actually. Yeah. So I just love the way The Simpsons do that way. It's always like such a. Like a playful, like sort of sign when something really horrible is happening behind the camera. Like, oops, we'll be back soon. I tell you a bit that had me cracking up was the lad when he first, when Marge's like, give him back the donut, and then he gives it back to him, and he just boots the dog halfway down the street, like, and just scrapes the donut off the roof of the house as he's gone. Like, oh,
he
so
crashes
funny.
It on a car. Like, he just like, and like whatever. It's cause it's like a 50s design. You know what I mean? Like, it's something so eerie about that. He's like.
It's like, was it Fallout or Far Cry?
Yeah,
or
Fallout.
Fallout, where they use that sort of stuff.
And I love when he shows up and it's like, I couldn't stop laughing at this, where he's like, Flanders has it.
Yeah.
And then like he rings the bell again and it's the head and you just hear like, help me, Lord. And Flanders is just like running away.
Yeah. Yeah. But plus when he steals the donut, it's like, it's taking up the whole sitting room. And Marge is like, where did you get that? It's like, get what? And like, it doesn't even look like he can't eat it. Like, you can hear the metal clanging off the off whatever they're doing. Like,
I did like when Lisa noticed the copyright stamp. It has what's the company? It was like something like real, like post World War II.
Yeah,
advert. It was like, oh, what the fuck was it?
Oh, we'll never get it now.
Yeah, no. But it was like something in Van Casting or something like that, where it was like. It's like, oh yeah, okay. Like you see your man in there. It's like, but, yeah, this guy's been around for like 70 years.
He looks like he's been around for a long time. That's one of my favorite Simpson segments.
Realtor?
I mean, I think in our house we say "Well, sir," at least once a day, and it's usually like if you're looking at like a bit of bad news or you're given a bit of bad news and you're just like, "Well, sir." Plus the fact.
Did you pick up the Diet Coke from Dunn's? Well, sir, they were sold out.
Yeah. Well, sir. And plus the fact that like she's clearly like a girl and he's like, well, sir.
Yeah. But his voice, like, if you
simply
stop paying attention, they'll lose their powers.
Perhaps a jingle. And the way he's like,
monster. Don't watch the monsters.
It's like he's working out.
Well,
so
better
coming
in a pole anchor.
It's like he's working out in his head. Don't watch
the monsters. Monsters. And like the way they draw his lips, like it's like, you know, the old man. They're like those curly in lips, like, you know.
Brilliant. So then, I mean, I don't have any more notes on this episode, but I'm a fan of just the way it all sort of ended. Of course, Homer is the one who can't stop looking at them. Like, the second he turns away, like, he just collapses.
They really had to, like, wrap it up, but it was like, I did,
it was
like,
wrapped
Lisa,
up
like,
quick.
Don't make us poke your eyes out, Dad.
So that was that one. That was the first one. That was a solid one.
Very good. And you know, it was funny, but also there's so much you like to appreciate in it. That's what the theme of this one for me was. I was appreciating pretty much every frame of it.
Yeah, there was so much going on. Like there was so much to look at, so much to listen to. There was a lot going on. It was
and
good.
Even at the end there with like Brockman being like, the next advertisement you could see would destroy your house and eat your family.
Yeah.
And Homer being like, we'll be right back, to the ad break, you know, in America or whatever, you'd be getting the ad there.
Is that meta?
Yes.
Am I using that correctly?
That is meta.
Come on! Now.
It's meta before they were even saying meta.
They invented meta.
Yeah.
Stop saying meta in there. The second one, Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace. At first, I was just like, what is with this animation? Like,
I loved the animation. That was different, first of all. As in,
like, Bart's dream. Yeah, it's like a proper cartoon, like Tweety Birds going around the head, like big lump appearing.
Oh, hard luck.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry, Bart.
Yeah.
And then I love when he wakes up from the dream and Homer's like, Bart, is that you? Yes. Take out the garbage.
I'm sorry about this, folks.
Oh, dear.
I got a frog in my throat.
Do you want to take a minute there and cough it up? Cough up a lung. Folks, I don't want to alarm you. We'll edit this out.
Now, maybe that's a little bit better, but... Maybe just drink some more beer. How about that?
That's the solution to everything. The cause of and solution to.
Next year. That's next season, isn't it?
Yes. Can't wait for that one. Mm-hmm. But like, I love when like they get the fact that like Groundskeeper Willy is like in their nightmares or whatever. I love the way the Simpsons do it with Skinner where he like just sidles up at nowhere. There's no need to worry, children. I love the way they do like, that.
The first thing he says is, I couldn't help monitoring your conversation.
Yeah. He's like your man from Itchy and Scratchy Land. It's like, don't worry, ma'am. Yeah. You know?
I like how when they're going on about it, like, you got Lisa with the hedge clippers, and then it's like, Nels, like, he ran his floor buffer over me. Yeah. And he's just like, really shiny, like.
And they so they finally get it where it's like Martin finishes his test straight
fucking
away.
Hell, like they do this so well. This is like proper horror film.
Yeah, but for, like, first of all, where he's like, "Oh, ate your wet of pleasure."
Yeah,
you gotta slide like, out.
But the fact that he's like, "Morty, he, she, or it die." He's like, "Maurice, ye die."
Yeah,
and like the music is like. Fucking, it is Nightmare on Elm Street type music, like, you know?
And that fucking shriek.
Wheel him out quietly. It's best the children don't see him. Oh, just get it out of here. Not into the kindergarten.
That he lets out in the class.
And just the way his body is like...
contorts or something. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then you see the body as well. Like, fucking hell. Like,
I know.
And it's Skinner.
Yeah, go on.
I always remember loving this one as a child. I must have been, like, 8 or 9, whatever.
Yeah.
And looking back at it, and they're like, what the fuck? Like this so is scary. Dumb. Like, this part is scary. This section is, like...
Yeah.
Especially when like Willy is on fire,
yeah.
And, like, when he's like the third part of like disintegrating,
yeah.
We'll get to it, but I'm like that. Like looking at that, I'm like, this is a really disturbing image. Like,
yeah, it's proper horror. Like, I love when he does go on fire. The way he's just like, it just explodes on him in a second. Like, it's not like gradual.
It's great comedy in that it's like. Do we vote for replacing the door handles? It's like, nay. And he's like trying to get out the door handles.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's like, replacing the fire extinguisher. No, this is a free service that the fire department is like, nay. And then like when he gets in there, like it's great that it's like, he's on fire and he's like, Willie, please.
Yeah.
With the red hat, there's the floor.
I, for one, would like to see the cafeteria menus in advance so parents can adjust their dinner menus accordingly. I don't like the idea of Milhouse having two spaghetti meals in one day.
That's become like a meme all over, like in Simpson meme terms, especially on Reddit. This is huge, where Kirk Van Outen's like, I don't like the idea of Milhouse having two spaghetti meals in one day. And it's always like you know the way they do it in the memes, where he's put in somewhere else. So it's always to do with two spaghetti meals or something like that. It's like, when you have two spaghetti meals in one day,
right?
It's massive, like. But so it's just, it's one of those ones that's taken on a whole new sort of cultural reference or whatever.
But like when he, like, so he sits down, like he kind of slumps in the chair, Willie, and he's on fire. And then cuts back to him, and like he is like a red or brown skeleton on fire. Like his eyes are flames, and he's basically saying, you're going to pay for it with your children's blood. Like Wiggum sitting there like, how are you going to get them? Skeleton power?
Imagine like seeing a burning man like that threatening your kids and just being like,
whatever.
What more do you want? And like, particularly in the dream that Bart's having, where Krusty's like, there's only a few seconds left to go and all this sort of stuff, and then like you just see Willy come out as like some giant like spider behind him. He's like, don't dream about me anymore, kid.
but even that, when they say, okay, we're gonna get into, oh no, I know what you're talking about, by the way, when you were like, what's the other thing on the radio?
Yeah, what was it?
It's like, there's a volcano waiting to erupt in the Pacific Rim. Its name? Medium-term convertible debentures.
Just nonsensical, like, background gibberish.
Like, I was thinking, like, they're trying to stay awake. Why are they watching this?
Yeah, it seems like the most boring thing they could watch.
Yeah, it's like, surely you have a VHS you could stick on or something. Yeah, like,
itchy and scratchy or something. Did you ever have like a VHS when you were young that you'd like stick on, like if you got up in the middle of the night, you were sick or something, or if you were just whatever? You know what I mean? Like, do you ever any of those like recorded off TV? Like,
mostly wrestling.
Yeah, same.
To be honest, like it would be mostly like I'd stick on some wrestling tapes that I had or whatever.
Yeah,
and then just kind of fall asleep on the couch watching it, like.
Yeah, you know? I think we had wrestling ones. We had a Friends one at the time. I remember.
I remember getting a lend of the Friends. I think it was season 3, like tapes.
Yeah.
Before DVDs came out.
Oh, it was great back in the day, especially like, if you were sick. Like
season 3 of Friends was like, for me, I'm thinking about it, like, obviously season 1 is the best season of Friends, obviously, but...
What?
Yeah, of course.
But long like, hair, Chandler.
What?
And I just want $1 million.
Yeah, I love it, like... I have to go, okay?
That is good.
Like, they even, like, the jokes were a bit more risque, where it was like...
Yeah, they were.
They're talking about, like, how foreplay, it was like, you know, I mean, he's the comedian. And I just want to see Pink Floyd. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, as an adult, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
As a kid, I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, whatever. What's the joke? You
know? Whatever, don't get that one next.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, Chandler said something sarcastic. That's good.
he's the only one that's funny.
He's the funny one.
So how does this one end then?
He goes into the dream, and Willy is like the giant lawnmower.
Oh yeah.
Trying to cut him down, and then Bart covers the thing, the sandbox, with grass and water, and that's when he like goes into it and Krusty appears.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like Krusty's little thing when they're winning the Super Bowl, like, there's 2 seconds left. Now listen up. It's your basic Statue of Liberty play with one twist. You throw it to me. Newt Rodney calls it the forward pass. And then like Willy turns into like a giant bat. It's like a bagpipe spider.
And oh yeah, Maggie's the one who plugs it up with the...
Yeah, and I did like with Krusty, when it's happening, he's like, now the clock's still running, so it's important we start this play as quickly as possible. And he's like, oh, don't dream of me no more, kid.
I love that, like, Krusty's still Krusty, like, he's not even like Bart's version of Krusty.
And he looked good with the shoulder pads on.
He did.
Maggie saves them.
They obviously deliberately go the other way with Willy then, when he gets off the bus, where he's like, blue, You know, like, it's like, oh, he's not scary after all.
I never remember this where it was like, I left my gun on the seat.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was like, your gun? Excuse me?
He's just going to shoot their heads off?
Yeah, like, what is this?
Lock this man up already. Yeah. And how is he just back alive?
Yeah, that's funny, though. I like it.
So that moves us on, Terry, to our final segment of this spooky evening. Homer Cubed.
Boy, do I love this one. And I've always loved it. And
this was a real, like, culturally significant, it feels like.
This is a game changer, almost. Like,
yeah. You know? I remember kind of being blown away in 95 or whenever it was when I seen this, being like, whoa, they're in the real world. How are they doing that?
The idea of, like, it's such a straightforward premise. He wants to hide from Paddy and Selma. You know,
yeah, like, he could write the plot in one line. He hides from Paddy and Selma and ends up in another dimension.
Yeah. And, like...
like, one line.
He ends up behind the bookcase.
Yeah.
And in the third dimension, I guess.
I loved at the start when, like, they're all in their hiding spots, like Bart and Lisa are in the cupboard and the pets are under the mat.
Yeah.
Shit, like, with no bulls, like, Homer just lifts up, like, arr! And then when Paddy and Selma come in, like, they're just there, already there. It's like, I would like to take your coat. So, I would also like to take your coat.
I love that. I love what Selma says, like, oh, baking like a meatloaf under this wet wool. And then it's like, we got our family activity. A pillowcase full of seashells from our trip to Sulphur Bay.
It sounds so unappealing.
You can help us clean and organize them and pry out all the dead hermit crabs. Get a screwdriver.
And I love when she's like, hey, you can just suck them out.
I know. Like, I was watching it and Faye was like, ew, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. That's them.
Homer, and I love how Homer is in the 3D world, but also he can be heard.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. Can anybody hear me?
Oh, but when they're like, I'll get Ned. He has a ladder. Yeah. And they just have Flanders in the middle of the sitting room, like, at the top of the ladder, just, like, looking around. Well, as the tree said to a lumberjack, I'm stumped.
Yeah. He's like, I love Homer's lines. He's like, I'm somewhere where I don't know where I am.
Yeah. I was wondering, though, when he was in there, what was the, like, it's like a city hall or something there.
I'm like, let me give me an RPG when this is, and let me, like, roam around as Homer in this. I've always been so curious about it. Like,
now, you know? there's a few little background jokes here. First of all, because I looked it up, and that, like, city hall thing that was in there was like the library from the 1993 computer game Myst.
Oh yeah, I played it.
And apparently the music is from the game soundtrack. That's sort of like,
I thought it sounded familiar. I really love everything that's going on in the 3D world. I'm like, ooh, yeah, like, drink it in, man.
One of the equations that appears is 1,782 to the power of 12 plus 1,841 to the power of 12 equals 1,922 to the power of 12. Although a false statement, it appears to be true when evaluated on a typical calculator with 10 digits of precision. The answer is incorrect, Terry, by approximately 0.7 nonillion. What's nonillion? If it were true, it would disprove Fermat's last theorem, which had just been proven when this episode first aired.
Where's the joke, Andy?
I want to see what a non-alien is. This is just a fact segment, Terry. I got no joke.
All right, okay.
What is non-alien? Number of... what? Hang on. Terry. A number equal to 1 followed by 30 zeros.
Whoa.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. Well, there you go. What else have we got, Terry?
I like how Homer is exploring the cone is bouncing around. And then eventually it, like, gets him in the butt. Watch it, Coney.
The fact that, like, it's just bouncing around for a couple of minutes beforehand, like, and it just gets him square, like, yeah. But I like the fact when Professor Frink is like, he's there explaining to them, and Lisa's like, where's my dad? It's like, eh, it should be obvious to even the most dim-witted individual who holds a PhD in blah, blah, blah.
Who holds an advanced degree in hyperbolic topography. I do, look, I always credit The Simpsons for, like, a joke. I remember, you know, in school, like, in first year, you were in a class, and then in second and third year, you were switched around classes because you're doing different subjects and different levels of stuff. And then by the time fifth and sixth year rolls around, you're moved around again.
Yeah.
So, like, that kind of happened to me. And, like, a lot of my friends from first year, I wasn't in classes with them in second and third year. But we were, I remember the first day of fifth year, I was back in class with them.
Nice.
And it was like, I was like, oh, brilliant. I was like, immediately felt more comfortable. Yeah, you know,
going into the year,
it was like one of the new teachers was like, okay, guys, take out your books. And I was like, whoa, slow down, Brainiac. Like, I don't know why, just straight off the top of my head. And like,
big laugh.
Oh, like Pilo and other lads that like get the reference or whatever. Like,
brilliant.
I was like, ah, yes, I'm home.
No better feeling.
Yeah.
What a great start to the to your senior year.
Yeah, and I always remember as well, like, the Tron joke. I love, like...
Yeah, and that reminds me...
We were made watch Tron.
We were all brought to the cold, like, hall or whatever it was. And we were all sitting...
8, I'd say, as well, when they made watch Tron. Like.
And, like, they just put... It was, like, a normal-sized TV, I think, as well. I don't even know if it was, like, a big projector. About 100 kids sitting watching this movie, Tron. Like... It's still almost used as a punchline, like, it was as boring as Tron. Like, that's still carried on from my childhood. I still consider Tron and boring in the same, and it's probably deadly. Like, I haven't seen it since.
He got sucked into his arcade game.
Is it supposed to be good, or is it supposed to be shite?
I don't know. I never and maybe it's on Disney Plus, but like the sequel to Tron was there. And like Daft Punk did all the music, and apparently it's like really weird and futuristic and neon.
Interesting.
The son goes into the machine looking for the dad.
Hmm.
Speaking of Jeff Bridges, see, he has lymphoma.
I do.
It's a shame.
Poor old Jeff.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah. I don't really know what lymphoma is, if I'm being honest.
It's cancer,
it's
Andy.
Not good.
It's a type of cancer.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yes, but anyway,
quiet, you awful man.
When Frink is doing his thing on the blackboard, and it was like he's drawn the cube, he's like,
yeah, it's like, here's a square.
He's like, yeah, but it's like it forms a three-dimensional object known as a cube, or a Frinkahedron, in honor of its discoverer. Hey,
I tell you, every time I see Professor Frink, I'm reminded of the fantastic website, frinkiac.com. Yeah. If I can give another shout out to Frinkiac, I mean, like, it's the origin of Simpsons memes. It's got every single scene from The Simpsons. If you just type in what the dialogue is, it pops it up in meme form.
Which is mental in itself, if you think about it. Like.
Yeah, I think there's one for Futurama and Rick and Morty as well, by the same guys. But when... Frink is going through his calculations, and Wiggum is like, a man's life is at stake, we need action. Just starts firing bullets
into
the wall.
The best line is,
which one?
Enough of your borax, point Dexter.
It's such a like dim witted cop line. Borax. I completely missed that. And then one thing that got a big laugh for me is when because the ground is obviously caving in, and then Bart goes in and he's like, just jump for it, Dad.
So
and
good.
The jump that he does
piece
is like...
Piece of cake,
son. He doesn't get any elevation at all. He just like steps down into the hole. He's like, crap.
It's clearly like Bart is like
a mile away
into the thing, and it's like... The chasm is, you know, huge. Like, just go around the side. There's actually room left on the side.
Like, even if he got a great jump, he'd never make it. But it's just the fact that, like, he didn't even get that. He just, like, ran down it.
And then, like, grab.
Yeah.
I did like Homer when he was like, oh, God, I'm going to be sucked into a black hole. I'm going to be sucked into oblivion.
Yeah.
Like, what's coming out the other side? I don't know.
The music and all really did help make that what it was. That sort of just old school sort of retro music.
Yeah, it really did.
And then the ending, like, I'm a big fan of the way he crashes into the trash can.
Yeah.
That did look real, a little shake and the dust coming up and all that.
I did like Bart's line where Marin's like, what happened? He's like, well, we hit a little snag when the universe sort of collapsed on itself. But Dad seemed cautiously optimistic.
And it's mad. It's a bit of a mad ending, like, that he just ends up, like, walking around and then goes into the erotic cake store.
But I was like, whoa, like, where did they go from here with The Simpsons? Yeah. Oh, my God. And I was like,
at the time, I was like, is this it now? Are they going to be in the real world?
Yeah, 100%. And then it's just like, next episode.
Yeah, back to normal. Now, can we get into ratings on this one?
Sure.
Let me ask you something then, Terry. What did you think of it?
I bloody loved it. Thought it was great, I have to say. Just really, really appreciated everything that was going on in it. I love the Laird Lad one. I think the Groundskeeper Willie one is so scary, like, in terms of, like, just aesthetically looking at it, you're like, fucking hell. Like, if I'm breaking this down, I'm like, if this was done in a film,
yeah,
like, what, like, obviously Nightmare on Elm Street did it, but, like,
yeah,
it's fucking scary, like, it's unsettling.
Yeah, like, there's episodes of The Simpsons that I'd watch with Joni, and I wouldn't watch that one with her because that'd be too much, you know.
Like, it's definitely disarming because it's The Simpsons, but at the same time, you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah,
like, it's not normal. You know, Treehouse of Horror. I don't think, anyway. Like,
yeah, it was definitely a step above of actual scary looking, scary whatever, scary dreams, all that stuff. Can I ask you, would you have an MVP in this episode, Terry?
Would I have an MVP? I think it's hard with the Treehouse of Horror. I might go for the Laird Lad.
How about this? Let me ask you what your MVP. Sketch is MV
Homer
segment.
Cubed, I think, is my favourite one.
Right.
But I'm going to give it MVP as Laird Lad.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, because it just the stuff he's doing with the looks on his face, and, like,
yeah,
I don't even think we even talked about it. There's one point where he's, like, rolling his donut around with, like, the radio tower and, like, a pinwheel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's doing loads of stuff. Like, so,
yeah, he was great, actually. Yeah. What about your rating, your final rating?
I'm going to give this one, I think it's my highest Treehouse of Horror. I'm going to give it an 8.7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right in the meaty part of the curve.
Yes, sir?
I'd be inclined to agree, sir. Yeah, I mean, the eyesore, the 50-foot eyesore one, I don't know why I have a particular affinity for. Big fan of the song, big fan of the monsters. Mm-hmm. Love the Laird Lad. The Evergreen Terrace one is probably my least favourite of them. But it's definitely well made. Like, these are three very well made ones. But if I have to say, one would be my least favourite. It just was a little bit, like, I don't know what it was. Didn't hook me quite as much. And then the Homer Cube was kind of, like, felt groundbreaking at the time. I mean, I don't know how much it was, but it definitely, as far as my 10-year-old eyes were concerned, I was blown away, I remember, when I first seen it. So I was like, okay. So that one's definitely a memorable one. My MVP, I'm going to have to just be boring and give it to Homer J, because he's, you know, a big
great.
Part.
Don't get me
he's
wrong.
Of 1 and 3. My rating, Terry, would be a 8.4. So high one for me.
Yeah.
High one for me. Same rating as last week. So yes, there we are.
All in all, a very successful week.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, I must say.
Yeah. Should we get our plugs in?
Please. Where can they find us, Terry?
Why don't you tell me?
Instagram, Twitter, at Put It in H Podcast. You can email us. I'll be honest, I haven't checked it, so if you have emailed us and we haven't addressed it, I apologize. So,
you know what? I'm going to check it right now. How about that?
I figured that was a joint dealio.
Is it?
I figured. I thought you were checking it.
What? You're the social media guy. Email and I social don't know. Media.
You set up the Gmail, so I kind of figured that
when
you were.
When, Andy?
Huh? Yeah, I know. Let's do this off mic.
No, let's not. Let's do it now.
And another thing. You can.
You keep going there.
You can find us on. I'm just going to do your bits here. You can find us over on Patreon if you like what you hear. It's where we do all of our non-Simpsons content. So we have another podcast called What's So Great About Marvel, where we dissect the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Terry's telling me what's so great about it, and I'm asking him what's so great about it. And we've also got a whole bunch of other stuff on there. What else have we got there, Terry?
No, I can't find anything on the Gmail here, Andy.
You sons of bitches.
No, I can't actually find the login. So that's all more right, okay. Mea culpa. Anyway.
You keep talking there.
well, look, you know what? I want to say a big thank you to some people out there.
Oh.
Okay, we're back in the charts this week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my pestering and pleading for ratings and reviews, you know, it's going a bit of a way because we're back in the charts and you guys are back in our hearts right
absolutely.
Here. You know, it means a lot. It means an absolute lot.
So, we love to see it, yeah. Absolutely.
As the kids say, you love to see it.
Yes.
So keep those 5-star reviews and ratings and all the good stuff. Keep them coming. These lean months are coming, you know, the winter months. I need to gather my nuts like the hungry squirrel that I am.
He needs to get his stars for the winter, people.
Yeah, I mean, how are we going to keep the heating on here if I don't have any stars? but seriously, thanks so much. And thanks to people who signed up to the Patreon there, Andy.
And
they're going to put you on the spot here, right? So all our other, you know, our bonus podcasts that we've been doing, you know, we've done music ones in The Last Dance, whatever. I've got a pitch for you. Okay.
Go on.
There's a little band that have turned 30 years old this month.
We do have an email. Anyway.
They've gone and turned 30 years old this month. They're one of my top three bands of all time.
Oh.
They've released a little remastering of all their albums on vinyl called Venus, Cupid, Folly and Time.
I don't know what this is. I don't know what's coming.
The band itself is The Divine Comedy, Andy. I want to do a Divine Comedy podcast.
Okay.
It's the perfect time. Come on.
An episode?
One. I'm going to pick my top six.
Okay.
And I'm going to sell you on them and you're going to be converted.
Okay. I'm open to new music. A Divine Comedy song came on my shuffle or something.
Ooh,
I don't know what it was.
Which,
I can't remember. I have no idea. I just remember thinking I didn't hate it. But, so there you go.
Give me a lyric.
I honestly couldn't give you one
word
in the song.
Complex.
Listen, can I? That does sound good.
Complex.
I would love to do that.
Great.
Now, we have a... an email title from Owen. I'm something of a scientist myself. Now you know what?
Very good, Owen.
Yeah, now you know what? I think I will save this one because it's a Marvel one.
Oh.
Now, I have another email, though, from our old pal and patron, Richie.
Hey.
It says, hi, lads. Was just listening to the podcast there and you were chatting about Tom Hanks and it made me think of his cameo in The Simpsons Movie. Would you consider doing The Simpsons Movie review as a bonus episode? Keep up the good work, Richie.
Now, Richie, we've gone back and forth on this.
I would watch it to review it. I mean, maybe I'll like it more now.
Maybe we should do it as like our 100th main feed episode or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe around... Or,
I will say, I remember Tom Hanks being the best thing about the movie, so...
I don't remember him being in it, so...
You don't?
I've only seen it like once, like a long time ago. But Yeah, maybe we do it like around Christmas or something like that.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, you got your wish there, Richie. That's how easy it was. Richie asked me a while ago about something about, you know, they've replaced voice actors on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So Carl's voice has been replaced.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
It's been replaced by the actor Alex Desert or Desert.
All right.
You might know him from a little TV show called Becker.
I definitely not then.
He's a black guy anyway, and he's now doing Carl's voice. So
So they did it like for racial reasons.
Yes. And Richie was asking me, is it like, do you think it's, you know, right or whatever? You know, what do you think? And I'm kind of...
what do you think? I know what I think.
You know what? Like, they probably should have done it in the first place, is my what I always kind of go back to, you know?
Yeah.
If they're going to do it, like... now, at this time, it kind of just seems like a bit of pandering, maybe. Is that the word I would use for it?
That's
like,
exactly it.
You know,
it's,
like...
It's vintage 2020 Simpsons, is what it is.
Yeah. But like, I do like the idea of like the representation, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on it, because I absolutely think that you shouldn't have to get someone from a certain background or race to play that character. Like, it's acting, especially voice acting. I personally, I'm not speaking for the podcast here, but I would think that you know. It's like whoever's the best actor should get it. Like, I mean, I get it. People are underrepresented. And if they're, like you said, if they're starting from now, like, fair enough, crack on. But certainly not replacing and being like, oh, sorry, we didn't know. You know, like all this sort of stuff. Like, there's, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like if it was a new African-American character, or black character, whatever, like if they were a new person coming in.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Grant,
I don't know, like, it's a funny one. I mean, should that really matter even? Anyway.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable talking about it.
Yeah, me neither. But your question was answered, Richie. So you know, there you go.
So it's coming.
3 weeks or whatever, a month later.
when was this sent?
Oh, October. We were just texting. We were just teletexting. They're always teletexting.
On that note, Terry, what have we got next week?
Well, next week on the main feed, it's going to be King-sized Homer.
Oh, excellent.
So good.
Excellent. Now we're really getting the classic.
Next week on the Patreon feed, it'll be What's So Feech About?
Yes.
So I hope you've been tabulating your greatest...
Now, what was the... Was this an email? An email? Or was it in...
Niall emailed us, I think. Or was it a Patreon email, maybe?
Was it? I'll have a look. And see exactly what the...
The gist of it, I think, was we pick our favorite, like, you know, somebody featuring somebody songs. So maybe you pick five, I pick five.
Yeah, okay. I'll look at the exact rules and we'll...
And then
we'll,
I think Niall was kind of asking... Do you think there was ever a case of somebody featuring somebody on the track and they never wanted to work with them again because they were too dangerous? You know, as in, like, they'd be showing them up.
This is my
kind of podcast. So I'm sure there's loads of avenues we can go down.
Brilliant.
We make the rules, Andy.
Yeah.
As much as we like Niall, we make the rules, all right?
and that's going to be a belated wedding present to our pal over.
Yeah, over the world.
Anyway, on that note, I've run out of things to say. And, I'm going to say goodbye and thank you very much to everyone. And as Terry said, thanks for everyone who has given us a nice rating and subscribed to the Patreon. And even if you haven't, we love you anyway.
Yeah. Be safe out there, everybody.
Goodbye.
To stop those monsters, 1, 2, 3. Here's a fresh new way that's trouble-free. It's got Paul Anka's guarantee.
Guarantee void in Tennessee. Just don't look. Just don't look.